Welcome to 5-Minute Journal Club, TROP2 Antibody-Drug Conjugates in the Management of Metastatic Breast Cancer. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. I met with Dr. Erica Hamilton from the Sarah Cannon Research Institute to discuss recent key presentations and publications, and we began with a data set that in January led to the initial FDA approval to yet another antibody-drug conjugate in oncology, the TROP2 ADC datopotamab deruxtecan for patients with metastatic ER-positive breast cancer after prior endocrine therapy, and more recently, in progressive EGFR-mutant non-small cell lung cancer. This marks the second TROP2 ADC approved in breast cancer, joining sacituzumab govitecan. This approval was largely based on data from an update of the TROPION-Breast01 study that was reported in the Journal of Clinical Oncology in January, followed by more data at the ESMO virtual plenary session in February. The median PFS with data was 6.9 months compared to 4.5 in the control group, with a significant hazard rate of 0.64. No overall survival benefit was reported, but the subsequent use of ADCs may have influenced this. The rate of grade 3 toxicity in the Dato-DXd group was actually less than half than the chemotherapy control, and there were fewer dose reductions and discontinuations in the Dato-DXd arm. Specific treatment-related adverse effects for Dato-DXd included oral mucositis and stomatitis, which was seen in 57% of patients but was largely reversible, and ocular surface events, keratitis, in 44% of patients, again with reversibility in most patients. Adjudicated interstitial lung disease was seen in 4% of patients. Dr. Hamilton commented,
"This is essentially our second TROP2-directed ADC to hit the scene, sacituzumab govitecan being the first. And so both of them have topo payloads, but datopotamab is actually that DXd payload. So it's the same payload as trastuzumab deruxtecan. And so it was a pretty straightforward study. Again, this was looking at hormone receptor-positive metastatic breast cancer, people that were pretreated, 1 to 2 prior lines of therapy, and you essentially had investigator's choice chemo versus the ADC. Notable difference between sacituzumab govitecan or other TROP2 ADC, where it's dosed day 1, day 8, day 15 off, and this one is dosed every 3 weeks, more like trastuzumab deruxtecan. So that's kind of the first difference to put in your hat. In terms of PFS, we saw very similar results. Hazard ratio is 0.63, 2-month improvement in progression-free survival with the ADC over single-agent chemotherapy. And I think really looked similar, except when we came to adverse events. And I think this is really emphasizing what we're learning across breast cancer and other subtypes, that although we kind of loop everybody with ADCs into one class, the antibody drug conjugates are really different. They have really different side effects. And so when we think about sacituzumab govitecan, we think about neutropenia and diarrhea, and then that challenge with counts because you have to dose it 2 weeks in a row. When we think about datopotamab deruxtecan, it's a very different profile. We're talking about nausea and stomatitis. We really don't see diarrhea. We really see very low rates of neutropenia, only 11%. Dramatically lower than chemo. But I think, you know, we've all gotten a little bit more comfortable about how to manage deruxtecan nausea. You know, you need a multi-drug antiemetic regimen, but it's really the mucositis that can be more challenging. Dexamethasone mouth rinse helps with this, but you have to really be very explicit with your patients, because what happens is they start it 4 times a day. They say, oh, I don't have mouth sores. They stop it, and then they get the mouth sores, and it's very hard to get rid of once patients have it. So you really have to emphasize to patients, do not stop your steroid mouth rinse.
So can you talk about right now your thoughts about sequencing, where data would fit in these patients?
Yeah, I think that's a great question here. So I think that you're picking between them. We really don't have any data that you're going to want to follow SASE with Dato or Dato after, you know, Dato then SASE. You know, these are really have the same type of payload, a topoisomerase 1 payload. They're both targeting TROP2. So I think you're really picking either or here. And in terms of the TROP2 ADCs, You know, with sacituzumab, we have a little bit stronger data in triple negative compared to HR positive. And so I think that was one of the, you know, kind of unmet needs left here is that we had stronger data with trastuzumab deruxtecan and HER2 low. And so, you know, the sponsor really wanted to capitalize on these HR positive patients because, you know, we didn't have as much there in terms of TROP2. But I think you're picking either or. And the bigger question is, what do we know about ADC after ADC separate targets? So what do we know about trastuzumab deruxtecan followed by a TROP2 or TROP2 followed by trastuzumab deruxtecan? We can get resistance from either the target or the payload. Probably very important to switch targets. You know, there's some resistance that comes from the payload too. And so, you know, we do see a drop in the benefit of the second ADC compared to the first, but some emerging data suggests that if you're going to sequence these two, HER2 and TROP2, you may want to think about doing the TROP2 first because the TROP2 doesn't really have as much activity after the HER2 ADC. I think certainly the progression-free survival, the duration of response is certainly longer with trastuzumab deruxtecan. You know, I would argue that I think using both probably are appropriate because what we do know from these trials with ASCENT, et cetera, is that our single agent chemotherapies are giving us a PFS of less than 2 months. So even if our benefit to ADC is less that second time around, you know, we're still getting at least equal data than we see with single agent chemo. And for the most part, a lot of times these agents are a little bit better tolerated.
Globally, when you think about it, particularly from the point of view of the patient's quality of life, how would you kind of indirectly compare your clinical experience with Dato versus sacituzumab?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, it kind of comes down to the side effect profile in addition to the schedule, because I think the efficacy is pretty similar. So, you know, we don't need to test for TROP2 for either of them. The hazard ratios are very similar between the trial. We've got one that causes the more neutropenia, diarrhea. We've got the other one that causes more mucositis and nausea. And then we have the one that you need to give day one, day eight, and every 3 weeks. So I think this really comes down to the individual patient. You know, if somebody has IBS, has diarrhea at baseline, maybe sacituzumab's not a great choice. Similarly, you know, someone that lives very far away from the center, of which kind of coming in for that count check and getting growth factor if they need to can be challenging with sacituzumab. That's a place where datopotamab may have a role. In general, I find the mucositis a little bit tougher because a lot of patients, you know, just end up not being super faithful with a mouth rinse 4 times a day for a problem they're not having. And I have had patients that have gotten into trouble with that.
Another important TROP2 ADC breast cancer data set was presented at the recent ASCO plenary session by Dana-Farber's Dr. Sarah Tulaney. The Phase 3 ASCENT-04 KEYNOTE-D19 study compared first-line treatment of metastatic PD-L1 positive triple-negative metastatic breast cancer with a combination of sacituzumab plus pembrolizumab to chemotherapy with pembrolizumab. This is the first randomized Phase 3 study to report an improved efficacy and safety of a TROP2 ADC checkpoint inhibitor combination for first-line treatment of patients with PD-L1 positive metastatic triple-negative disease. SG-Pembro led to a statistically significant and clinically meaningful improvement in PFS versus chemotherapy with pembrolizumab, with a median of 11.2 months versus 7.8 months with a hazard rate of 0.65. OS data are immature, but an early trend in improvement was observed, and response rates were higher and responses were more durable with SG-Pembro. Safety outcomes were consistent with the established profiles of these agents, and in spite of longer duration of treatment with SG-Pembro, grade 3 events were similar, and fewer patients had dose reductions and discontinuations with SG-Pembro. I asked Dr. Hamilton for her thoughts.
This is a Ascent-04, and it was a theme at ASCO 2025, kind of bringing our ADCs up into frontline now. We saw this with trastuzumab deruxtecan for HER2-positive disease, you know, following on DB03, bringing it to frontline now with, you know, very positive results. And now we see this trial, Ascent-04, looking at sacituzumab govitecan, our TROP2 targeting ADC, and bringing it up to first-line triple-negative. Now, in triple-negative, we essentially have two populations of patients. We have those that are PD-L1 positive and those that are PD-L1 negative. And this is the space in triple negative that we need to test, unlike the neoadjuvant setting where we don't test. And so this was for the patients that had PD-L1 positivity. And so it was very straightforward design, one-to-one randomization, chemo with Pembro, or sacituzumab govitecan with Pembro. And what we saw was an improvement really in duration of response, an improvement of response rate, et cetera. And so we saw 9.2 months of duration of response with chemo Pembro, 16.5 months with sacituzumab govitecan for Pembro. So I don't think surprising data for us. Certainly we know that our antibody drug conjugates are outperforming chemotherapy. But what we're seeing is these are shifting earlier lines. And so I would say that everyone needs to get used to managing the toxicities of antibody drug conjugates, and specifically that each antibody drug conjugate is very different, because we're next place we're going to see them is in the curative setting for sure. In terms of side effects, there really wasn't anything profoundly different. You know, we know a little bit more nausea, a little bit more diarrhea. That can be a big side effect of sacituzumab govitecan. Neutropenia was actually pretty similar. We see less neuropathy with sacituzumab govitecan compared to naked chemo. So certainly patients are doing better, and we just have to be aware of these unique side effect profiles.
It looks like we're about to see the same thing in PD-1 negative patients. There's a press release out there about Ascent-03. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, so Ascent-03 is the mirror trial to Ascent-04, but now we're talking about that population in the first-line triple-negative that doesn't have PD-L1 expression. And remember, in triple-negative, this is actually the majority of our patients. It's probably 60, 65% of our patients. And so, yes, we have seen a press release that this is also a positive trial. And I think we anticipate seeing this probably at ESMO, so this fall.
While the current approval for Dato-DXd is in metastatic ER-positive breast cancer, there are a number of ongoing studies evaluating this ADC in triple-negative breast cancer, both in the localized and metastatic setting, including TROPION-Breast04, evaluating neoadjuvant treatment with a combination of durvalumab and Dato-DXd, and TROPION-Breast03, evaluating patients in the post-neoadjuvant setting with residual disease, with Dato-DXd plus or minus durvalumab. The phase 3 TROPION-Breast02 trial compares Dato-DXd versus chemotherapy in the first-line metastatic setting in patients not eligible for immunotherapy, and TROPION-Breast05 evaluates Dato with or without durvalumab in patients with PD-L1 high disease. I asked Dr. Hamilton about these fascinating clinical research efforts.
This is the theme of moving the ADCs up earlier. I mean, I think we've been really impressed with this data in breast cancer, and is clearly outperforming our, you know, single agent chemotherapy. TROPION-Breast04 is neoadjuvant therapy for triple negative. And this is a combination with Durva. So a little bit unique for the breast world. So a different twist on our checkpoint inhibitor. I'm really excited about TROPION-Breast03 because this is a very big unmet medical need. So for our patients that are, you know, maybe getting a Keynote regimen, they're getting, you know, immunotherapy, they're getting multiple chemo agents, and they have residual disease, we know they have a really poor prognosis and a very high chance of relapse. So then randomizing, you know, looking at these patients in terms of residual disease, and can we continue Dato with the Durva? Can we give Dato by itself, or, you know, individual single agent chemotherapy, which is kind of what we do now, the CREATE-X. So I think it's going to be fascinating for a number of reasons, really looking at that residual disease, but then also seeing if our benefit of immunotherapy is still there in that residual disease, which all of our immunotherapy trials in triple negative haven't answered that question about how much of the component of benefit is actually coming from the adjuvant setting versus our neoadjuvant setting.
What about Dato-DXd in first-line metastatic triple-negative setting? specifically TROPION-Breast05?
This is in combination with durvalumab in patients that have PD-L1 high recurrent disease. So this is an untreated, this is a first line setting. So you can kind of mentally file it with your kind of ASCENT-03, ASCENT-04 in that first line. So now we're talking about PD-L1 high. And the arms are a little bit interesting. We have three. We have datopotamab with durva. We have chemo plus Pembro, because remember, it's chemo plus Pembro that's really our standard now, but they're going with a Durva combination. And then we have this third bonus arm that's Dato DXD by itself. Now, this arm is going to be enrolled really outside the United States because immunotherapy is our standard, but there are plenty of places in the world that don't have access to the immunotherapy. But wouldn't it be fascinating if for some reason we actually saw that maybe with an ADC, we don't need the immunotherapy. Conversely, there's a possibility from what we've seen in some preclinical data that the way ADCs kind of expose cancer antigens, that our benefit with immunotherapy could be even greater. So I think a really interesting question to ask in this trial.
Curious to what extent you're seeing cell-free DNA bespoke assays like Signatera being integrated into clinical trials, either in the localized or metastatic setting?
Yeah, I think that that's a fantastic question. I certainly think that assays like Signatera can do what they say they can do. They can pick out our population that's at higher risk. And so I think it is very appropriate in clinical trial to be collecting this data. We should be collecting this data of who needs more, who doesn't need more, you know, what can we do? The challenge really comes to everyday practice. And we don't have a place where a Signatera assay in breast cancer is really actionable right now. You know, I can pick out somebody that maybe has a poor prognosis, but I don't have that action on the back end. I don't have any trial to tell me that giving them capecitabine or giving them immunotherapy or giving them anything can change that prognosis, that can convert them to a patient that's likely to relapse into one that's not likely to relapse. And so in the absence of having anything to do with that information, I don't really order it for my patients.
Another TROP2 ADC under current investigation is sacituzumab tirumotecan, or sac-TMT, which is evaluated in patients that's previously treated triple-negative metastatic breast cancer in the OptiTROP-Breast01 Phase 3 trial, first presented at ASCO 2024, and then published in June in Nature Medicine, demonstrating a PFS advantage compared to chemotherapy. At the recent ASCO meeting, we saw the results of the Phase 2 OptiTROP-Breast05 study, which demonstrated promising efficacy data in first-line therapy of metastatic triple-negative disease, with a manageable safety profile leading to two ongoing Phase 3 trials evaluating sac-TMT in the first-line setting alone or with immunotherapy. I asked Dr. Hamilton what we learned from the OptiTROP-Breast05 trial and what distinguishes this agent from Dato-DXd and SG.
So the same TROP2 targeting on the front end, but now we have a different payload. And this is the OptiTROP prefix of studies. It's another TROP2. It has a different payload. And as we're learning, all of these different ADCs have a different side effect profile. Response really looked quite good. Response rates of 70-ish percent. And that was among all patients. In terms of duration of response for those patients that were responders, they got good benefit in excess of a year, 12 months of therapy. And this was regardless of PD-L1 expression. Certainly reassuring there. What we see here is a lot of neutropenia. Grade 3 or greater neutrophil count decrease, about 50%. We see stomatitis a little bit less, about 9.8%. But we do see some eye toxicity here as well as some other count disturbances, anemia, lymphocyte decreases. So when we look at dose reductions were pretty frequent on this drug, a third of patients. Dose interruptions, the majority of patients, two-thirds. A little bit of a different side effect profile, I think.
What about OptiTROP-Breast01 looking at this agent after at least one prior therapy for metastatic triple-negative disease?
similar response rates, really compelling, 45%, similar data across all of the tropes where we don't need to test for this. We don't need to test for trope two expression to be a candidate. We do see maybe a little bit longer duration of benefit if you're higher, but regardless of whether you have high tumor expression or lower tumor expression, it's by far beating chemo. So really no reason to test it to give to an individual patient, and beating chemo in terms of PFS, 2.5 months versus 6.7 months. And this is regardless of TROP2 expression. So very similar story. And I think it's kind of ironic in breast cancer. We've spent decades, fragmenting HR positive is different than triple negative, which is different than HER2. And now with these ADCs, we're kind of using them across the board again and grouping these patients all together. So what do we know, right?